he was delivered out of a homosexual lifestyle. Now, as he was growing up, feeling the convictions and being torn inside over these desires pushing him, when he was in his late teens, I believe he hooked up with some Christians and tried to fight it and overcome it, and he finally just had it with them after about half a year and bailed and didn't want anything more to do with those Christians. He just went off and he just lived however he wanted to live. And believe this or not, he was in a nightclub on LSD looking up the ceiling and he heard God speak to him. Now you wonder, I don't think so. He's on drugs. But it was a clear message from the Lord about, if you come back and repent, I will change your life. That's what he heard. And he came to a deep breaking point. He learned over time how to wait on the Lord and to work this stuff through, and how God hears and answers and delivers and deals with you. We have to learn how to wait. Haven't your kids ever said to you, I can't wait for the summer trip? I can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait for my friend's birthday party. I can't wait for The Hobbit to come out in theaters this December. Whatever it is. Right, Jonathan? I said, you have to read the book before I'm ever going to think of taking you to that. So he's busy reading. So when my kids say that to me, I respond like this. If you can't wait, what are you going to do? The movie's not going to get released any sooner for you. Christmas isn't coming any sooner. None of this is going to change. What are you going to do? They have no choice but to wait. So it's kind of a little fun game we play. But as adults, when we can't wait, we do what we please. We can pull some more strings, can't we? We can cause some more trouble. We can get what we want. I tell you, God won't be heard that way. You won't find him if that's how you go about life. If you take the Bible storyline serious from Genesis to Revelation, waiting on the Lord becomes very important, indispensable, because what else are you going to do? There is no other choice if you understand the truth. So that's the second thing we need to think about, learning to wait, crying out, learning to wait. This also becomes, like I said, the pattern for the Christian life. The third thing, what will be the outcome? And this is the third step or phase. If you cry out, if you wait, what can you expect? The psalmist closes in verses 7 to 8. Would you read that with me? O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God will answer. God will save. And you will be happy in God. Not because you got what you wanted. You will get what you're looking for, and you will be happy in God. And that's the crucial point to understand. The psalmist tells us to hope in the Lord because he can save. He will save. There is no shortage of redeeming love with the Lord. He will answer in your favor. It may feel like, pardon me, you've gone to hell and back, but God will answer. God delights to answer, as he did with the Ninevites at Jonah's preaching in Jonah chapter 4. Preached a serious message of judgment coming, and they repented, and God relented, because it's what he wants to do. Jonah says, I know you are a compassionate and forgiving God. But boy, did they have to break at that point. It's a good book to read. Other lessons in there for us as well. But he must overcome our brutal hardness and deception of heart, breaking us down to our base components so that we can see and know and receive true joy in him. In him. As the psalmist says elsewhere, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's nothing quite like knowing God and what he has in store for you. And when you do, you will sing like the psalmist. You will tell others what you've done. You will want them to do what you've done. And as Jesus has said, the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of God. It's to these broken, contrite people who cry out that God gives everything, the kingdom of God, to. The kingdom of God, really, it's Jesus. We'll explore that as we get into Mark over the next year, starting in September. And Jesus is amazing. Though, as Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That's the happiness you need to be looking for. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, that's true happiness. We see Jesus fulfilling Psalm 130 at the cross. You can read through Matthew 26 to 27 sometime. Not for his sin because he's flawless, but in our shoes, in our place, bearing our sin, meaning that Psalm 130 looks ahead to the cross of Jesus, making it possible for people like you and me to cry out, to wait, and to find what we need, to receive. As we wrap up here, I've titled this sermon, The Way Back to Happiness, because for one, we don't have true happiness, and two, we were originally meant for true happiness. We were meant for it. We were designed for it. Psalm 130 lays that out for us. James confirms it for us in chapter 4 when he says, but God gives more grace to the humble. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mournful and weep. Sounds like the first few verses of Psalm 130. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. However, there are those who will see a message like this is horrific. They think in their mind they've got God in the dock, and this is just a really unreasonable thing to say to people. Seeing themselves as perfectly happy without the message of Psalm 130, I can honestly respect that. If that's where they're going to go, that's where they're going to go. But let me leave such people with this thought. If you're here today and that's your thought, that defining happiness without God by health, capabilities, wealth, vocation, family, friends, you name it. What happens when one or more of those things fail? Happiness is gone because they are not genuine happiness. But what happens when, if God permits you to be well off, to have everything, but you still define happiness as knowing God and serving him, and life fails in important ways, what will happen to you down the road? You will still have genuine, lasting happiness because you have the living God. And your trust and your hope is not in these things that come and go and are fleeting. That's just something to think about. Something to think about. Luke 12, where Jesus brings up the parable of this fellow who's had bumper crops. They call him, I think, the rich fool, is the subtitle that's been added into the text. He has these bumper crops. He has a ton of wealth, and he says, I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to do anything. I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger barns, stock them up. I'm going to kick back, eat, drink, be merry, and just live life out. And Jesus says he's a fool because he doesn't know that very night that God is going to take his life, and he is not rich toward God. He has put his hope, happiness in these things, and they're gone. And he is going to be one unhappy fellow. That's just something to think about if you're just not really buying what's being said here. Think about that. In the time that I was a youth coordinator at Aldergrove Baptist Church, I never saw Kevin give his life over to Christ. He continued to come to youth with his friend Barney, and he had a good time. Somehow, I think the road to happiness, true happiness in God, is not always an overnight deal. For many, it takes much time learning that the things of life don't bring true and lasting happiness. But the good seed was sown in Kevin's heart, and I pray that it will take root, it'll be watered, and it'll sprout someday if it hasn't already. So let us just quickly review, and we'll wrap this up here. Crying out from the depths, understanding what that means from Psalm 130. Learning to wait for the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, because there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. And when you receive, rejoicing in and declaring his salvation, as the psalmist is doing, this is what's held out to you. Life is not what you think. If you think you've got it good and you don't really need this, it's just not what you think. Some of you realize that. Jesus is the way to happiness because he is the salvation of Israel, of the world, of people like you and me. As John says in the first chapter of his gospel, the next day they saw Jesus coming toward them, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God who can take away your sin so you can enter into the presence of God and know true happiness, joy, rejoicing, and worship in life. Having the weight and penalty of sin lifted, the strength to live a new life, that your life really does matter to God. You do matter. Doesn't matter how small and insignificant you think you are or others have told you. You matter to God greatly. It doesn't matter what your portion and lot in life is. You matter greatly. Realizing that and having the sure prospect of a renewed world, this is true happiness. This is true happiness. I remember a fellow before I had moved from Aldergrove here, just beforehand. His name was Pat, and he came walking into church, and you could tell he was a wreck on, again, drug addiction. And he was trying to find a way out of it because his life was completely ruined. He was losing his job, his wife left him, and his daughter going to be taken away. And he's in a real bind. He comes in, and I spend some weeks with him, and we go through the gospel. We go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We talk about the God who made him, the God who he is in rebellion and sin against, the God who gave his son so that somebody like him could believe and be saved, the God who is going to make a whole new world for him to live in if he believes and turns to this message, and if he takes this and seeks to follow Jesus. We walk through all that, and he understood it. I knew God was present speaking to him. And then I hadn't seen him for a few weeks, and he came back in, and he was about finished. He just says, "I can't stop. I'm going to be a junkie forever. It's over. Nothing's going to make any difference." He just wasn't fully getting this picture. And I thought, I have nothing left to say. I have nothing more to give to him. And I had to let him go. And then I saw him a week later after that. And I was in a coffee shop, sitting down, working on a Bible study. And he comes flying in the door, and he's happy. He was so happy and such a different countenance, I didn't recognize him. This was only a week later. I didn't recognize him. And he comes in, and he's just happy. And he saw me, and he says, "Robin, guess what happened?" And he tells me his story about how he was in that depths, and he made that final plea and that cry to God. It came down to the wire. And God spoke several things to him at that point. One of them was, says, "You need to be redeemed. Somebody needs to look after your daughter. You need to be a father. You need to serve me." He heard God speaking to him. He said that God changed him. He went into some sort of a recovery program for men. And they gave him a Bible, and he was just beaming with joy in the space of 1 week. And he just came up, and he's trying to thank me for all I did. And I thought, I didn't do anything here. Okay, this is all glory to God. I was blown away. I was stunned. And the amazing thing is, in that time frame, his wife came back. He got his job back. It was just one of those things. You go, wow, that's just not normal, right? It was an amazing story with a happy ending there. I hope he carried on with that. But I just want you to understand here that this is the way to true happiness. Like I said, I get down deep. It seems like the world, it can be crashing in at times in so many different ways. And there's just one place to go. Psalm 130, that's why I've memorized it. Cry out from the depths. And just wait upon the Lord, and that joy comes, that happiness comes. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Let's take this opportunity and bow our heads and pray together. Father, we just have covered a very difficult message for the last few Sundays, and this one is no exception, but we want to rejoice in you. We who are saved want to remember who you are and what you've done, what you are doing, what you promised to come. And for those here who are not there, Lord, bring them to that place. It's painful, it's difficult, but it's going to be the best thing that ever happened. Again, we thank you, Jesus, for your amazing long-suffering and your amazing patience and your amazing love for us. Amen.
Will you stand with us? And I want to invite you to raise your voices, sing from your hearts the doxology with us.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let earth and heaven saints proclaim the power and might of His great name. Let us exalt on bended knee, praise God the Holy Trinity. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise to the King, His throne transcends. His crown and kingdom never end, now and throughout eternity. I'll praise the one who died for me. Praise God. God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for your truth and for your word. Thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, we pray that your joy would just show on our faces as we leave this building. Lord, we pray that you'd fill us with your spirit, your passion, your joy, your truth, so that we can serve others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go and do God's word. You're dismissed.